Harris straightens up as he comes set. Here's the payoff pitch. Jennings breaks his back, ground ball to Altuve, shovels the second for one. Gonzalez guns at the first, and it's in time. Double play, ball game over. Astros hold on to beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
And Will Harris is fired up. Well, he shattered the bat of Jennings. There was no chance that was not going to be turned by the middle infield for the Astros. Marwin Gonzalez threw a ball about 100 miles per hour from second to first.
Welcome back. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks joined by Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow, as we are every Sunday. And Astros picking up a win yesterday over the Tampa Bay Rays. And Mike Fiers, a really strong outing from him. Gave up two runs in seven innings. Big key to the trade you made last year with the Brewers, also getting Carlos Gomez in that deal. And Fiers had been scuffling a little bit. I'm sure you were thrilled to see him pitch the way he did yesterday.
No doubt about it. And I think one of the things that Mike Fiers does for our rotation is gives us some quality innings, and he gives us a chance to win the ball games that he starts for us. And that's really, you need a couple guys like that in your rotation. Obviously we got McCullers and Keuchel and guys that are considered aces, but you got to have those solid middle rotation guys that can give you outings like Mike gave us yesterday.
Jeff, can you give us an update on Carlos Correa? Not in the lineup today, but is it just more that it coincides with an off day tomorrow to make sure he's good to go in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's right. I think when you realize we have an off day tomorrow, he could have two extra days of rest. He is available to pinch hit, and I assume that if there's a need for it, we'll see him late in the game. But he could have played today. He could have started. He'll be back on Tuesday in the lineup against the Cardinals. And we're glad it was just a few days because it looked pretty bad on the video, but it turned out not to be so bad.
Well, you had the series with the Rangers in Arlington before this series began. And the good news is that the Astros ended their losing streak to the Rangers in that series, both in Arlington and also this season against the Rangers. But the bad news is still lost 3 out of 4. And for whatever it is, a lot of close games against the Rangers, and the Astros, for whatever reason, have just really struggled to break through against them.
Well, we've had a lot of close games, period, this season. I think a ton of our games have been decided by one or two runs. And, it really, for us, it's the tale of two seasons. It's the season without the Rangers and the season with the Rangers. And we're actually doing pretty well on the season without the Rangers. But, I'm glad we finally won a game, but we got to do a lot better than that. I mean, they're our division rivals, and we got to figure out a way to beat them. Hopefully next time they come visit us, we'll have the formula figured out, because they've really had our number this year. But apart from them, I think we've had a team that is competitive and we can play with anybody.
Jeff, the draft took place the last 3 days, and Thursday you guys tabbed Forrest Whitley out of San Antonio Alamo Heights, a big pitcher, and Ronnie Dawson, an outfielder from Ohio State. Can you tell us a little bit about those two in particular? In the next segment, we'll get into some more guys.
Sure. It was a great draft. I'm really happy with Mike and his guys and the talent they identified. Forrest Whitley is about 6'7", right-handed pitcher from Alamo Heights High School in San Antonio, and really has all the elements of what we see as a frontline starting pitcher down the road. So we were thrilled that he was available at our spot. Ronnie Dawson is a left-handed throwing outfield with some significant tools. I think he stole 40 bags over the course of his career at Ohio State, but he's also got a little pop. He had 15 homers this year. And just the type of guy we want to keep adding to our arsenal, another outfield prospect that could reach the big leagues pretty quickly.
Jeff, it's kind of dangerous to give comps to guys that young, but Ronnie Dawson, does he remind you of anybody at the outset?
Well, a little bit of Ray Langford in terms of the tools, the speed, power, swing combination. So pretty exciting. The video was pretty fun. I didn't get to see him myself, but we talked about him a lot. And mm-hmm. He was a guy that we had high on our board for that second pick, and we were pretty excited that he was still there when we came around to it.
All right, more with Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
The Astros traded Joe Niekro for Jim Deshays in 1985. Niekro was the all-time Astros win leader at the time, but he was also 40 years old. Deshays eventually took Nuxie's spot in the rotation. On this day in 1991, he hooked up in a pitcher's duel with right-hander Tommy Green in the Astrodome. Deshays had a shutout going into the eighth when the Phillies rallied for two runs to tie it. Al Osuna, who had won the game the day before out of the bullpen, held the line in the ninth. Jeff Bagwell led off the bottom of the frame with a walk. After a bunt and a couple more walks, the Astros had the bases loaded, and Steve Finley stepped to the plate against Joe Baver. Finley smacked a game-winning single to right, and Osuna became the winning pitcher for the second night in a row.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
And welcome back. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks once again joined by Astros General Manager Jeff Luhnow before the Astros wrap up their series with the Tampa Bay Rays. And Jeff, 40 draft picks for the Astros. 35 of them were college players, whether from a four-year school or a junior college. Was an emphasis in this draft to try and get more of these college players, or is that just the way it worked out?
It's the way it worked out. You know, we didn't have a large bonus pool, and usually that's when you select some of these unsignable high school guys like we've done in the past. But this year we went with the best player available. It just happened to oftentimes be a college player, sometimes college senior. We got a couple of JUCO guys. The JUCO guys are younger. We picked three guys from the same JUCO school. One from Toro Hernandez, Seminole State. So there's some youth in there, but we're excited about the whole portfolio of players. It's, you know, a lot of guys that have proven their performance in the college level, and those guys tend to move pretty quickly.
A couple of local guys, Jeff, and one's Nick Hernandez, who went to Dulles High School in Missouri City and went on to be the closer at U of H, and Ryan Burke, who was at Seven Lakes High School before going on to Texas A&M. Can you talk about Nick Hernandez and Ryan Burke for just a moment?
Yeah, I mean, we're always, you know, looking at local guys, and if it's even close, we try and grab those guys because we know it's important for our fans. Mm-hmm. And Nick had a good career at University of Houston. He had 11 saves this year and a big arm, and, you know, we think he's got a chance to be a pretty special arm in our system. So it's always nice to get a local guy. And Burke, being a second baseman at A&M, you know, he plays a premium position. He's also got a little bit of pop. I think he had 7 homers on the year, so it's nice we didn't get a guy that can field his position, who has a little punch in his bat.
You mentioned drafting three guys out of one school, Seminole State, out in Oklahoma Community College, and one of the guys really intrigues me, Abraham Toro Hernandez, a fifth-round pick by the Astros, and an infielder, a switch hitter, and I understand that there's been talk about him possibly catching. What can you tell us about Abraham Toro Hernandez?
He's a pretty exciting guy for us. He was the top junior college guy available on the board in this entire draft, and normally those guys don't go in the fifth round, but we really felt like we needed to have him. Switch hitter, throws right. They only played 55 games in the season this year, and he hit 20 home runs. So, athletic guy. We're not sure exactly what the position is going to be, but with that kind of bat and those kind of tools, we know he's going to fit somewhere.
Okay, Jeff, back to a guy that's already in your system, and he's made stops in Quad Cities and Lancaster, and his numbers stick out in the fact he has 66 strikeouts and 55 and two-thirds innings, 21-year-old Cuban Rogelio Armenteros. Can you tell me a little bit about his arm and his repertoire?
You know, Oz Ocampo has done a really tremendous job of identifying, along with his scouts, these arms, and this is the type of guy he generally is around the zone. The guys we sign, especially out of Cuba and Dominican and Venezuela, they've got enough stuff, swing and miss stuff, to create those strikeouts, but they also stay in around the zone, and it's very important that they have a breaking pitch, which he has, and he's working on a changeup. And once you have that complement of three pitches and you start to have success in A-ball, you know, he becomes a prospect for us, and it's one of many guys that Oz and his guys have signed in the last few years that we feel pretty excited about. And it allows us to do some things at the big league level, trade away some pitchers and do some other things that give us some flexibility, because even though the world doesn't know it, we've got some arms down low that we think are going to help us in the big leagues in the next, 3 to 7 years.
All right, Astros General Manager Jeff Luhnow, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me on, guys.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
And we got a question from Astros.com/radio, Robert. He said, he heard you mention Star Wars night. He was mowing the grass for his dad and could not write down the date at Minute Maid Park and would like to ask his family to take him. He also wants to know what our favorite characters are from the movie. Here's the 0-1 pitch, and that misses low.
Well, do you have a favorite character from the movie?
Yeah, it's CPOD2.
That's not CP3O, you mean?
Something like that. The 1-1 is a grounder to the left side. That'll be foul. Just by a couple of feet, a squibber over there.
Star Wars night is Friday at Minute Maid Park. This coming Friday, the 17th, against the Cincinnati Reds. First game of that 6-game homestand.
He also wants to know if he thinks Chewbacca could hit my knuckleball. And I would have to emphatically say, heck yeah.
Would this be in space or on Earth?
Here's the 1-2. Breaking ball, and that's hit pretty well out into left field. Rasmus giving chase, makes the catch. about shin high. Nice play by Rasmus to get that important first out.
It sure was. So are you saying Chewbacca was a very good knuckleball hitter?
Maybe not Steven Wright or Tim Wakefield's knuckleball, but mine, yeah. Here's Desmond Jennings. He's 0 for 2 as he swings at the first pitch and pops it up to the right side, coming in as Springer in shallow right field, and he puts it away for the second out.
My favorite Star Wars character was R2-D2, the other robot, not to be confused with CP3O.
It was not CPOD2?
No. I feel like that's like your bank passcode or something.
That's my password on everything. We're not on air, are we?
Pitch your questions to the booth. Email your questions to radio@astros.com. The Houston Astros.
Playing in the mess. Mike Fiers has done it. A no-hitter.
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered. Left field. See ya.
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL wildcard game.
The Houston Astros. Radio Network.